go to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. We're going to continue on our series tonight, Couples in the Bible, Ruth and Boaz. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Ruth, chapter number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. If you look at verse number 6. Naomi has buried a husband in Moab. Her two sons are buried in Moab. She's leaving now with her two daughter-in-laws. Verse number 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go? With me, are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lift up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the benefit that this study has been. Lord, first of all, to this preacher, as I've studied these things out, the help it has been to me personally, dear God, as a husband, as a Christian, and Lord, how it's helped our church. And so, Lord, tonight, once again, we turn to your word. Lord, we know that we will find truth there. Lord, we know that we will find help there. Thank you, Lord, for not only giving us your words, dear God, your inspired words, but Lord, for your commitment, according to Psalms chapter 12, to take personal custodial care over the very words of God so that we could have them to all generations. And so, Lord, we rejoice that we get to study your words tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. I certainly do not have the time to go through the entire book of Ruth, and we won't study the entire story, but I would think that and would suggest that you would be benefited by doing so. Even this week, add to your devotions four little chapters. It will help you. For those of you girls that like love stories, then here it is, four chapters, love story. And Ruth and Boaz is one of the sweetest of all of the Bible stories, and certainly Ruth would be a candidate for a hero for every young lady in here in studying her life and the way and the workings of God in her life. This is a book about romance. That's what it's about. It's about two people finding each other. It's about God bringing two people from two different backgrounds and two very much different lives, and yet bringing them together and making them one flesh. And there's a reason that this all came together. How about this verse, these verses? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And there's several things about this couple that I want to talk about tonight. I want to show you kind of how God brought these two people together. That's what we're going to focus on, because that's what the four chapters are about, the story of God bringing two people meant for each other together. Let me say, first of all, that this romance happened because of a decision, because of a decision. And we read that decision in these opening verses. we see two young ladies, and they make two very different decisions. One goes back to her people. One goes back to the heathen land. And no doubt, we have no other story. We have no other, nothing else about Orpah in the Bible to tell us how her life turned out. But I think going back into Moab, I think that she did not certainly find a Christian husband in Moab. And so she went back to the world. She went back to the ways of the world. And because of that, she married into the world. And not another word is spoken about Orpah. When we studied this, when we were going through the books of the Bible, when we studied this, it was interesting to look at the five key characters in chapter number one and their five decisions. Can I just review that with you? Because life is about decisions. Life is about decisions. Every one of you young people, a handful of times during the first 21, 22, 23 years of your life is going to come to a crossroad, and you're going to have to choose left or right. And what the direction you choose will result in the path that you take and where you end up, whether or not you end up in the will of God and marrying in the will of God, or whether or not you miss that by a country mile. And so you have to make those decisions. The decision of Elimelech, you know what? There was a famine in the land. You say, well, have we seen this before? Have we studied this before? I mean, it seems like every time that God's people have to face a little bit of trial, the ones that take off and leave the place of God's will are the ones that things don't turn out very well for them. And Elimelech does this. Here's Elimelech. He was in God's will, got out of God's will, and never had a chance to get back in God's will. He died out of the will of God. Then you have Naomi. She was in God's will, got out of God's will, but I'll be honest with you, I gave her a little bit of a pass because she was following her husband. And that's what the Bible told her to do. By the way, gentlemen, we ought to be very careful the decisions that we make for our life. Because we're not making that decision just for our life. We're making it for our wife, for our children. So the decision of Naomi, okay, Elimelech was in God's will, got out of God's will, never got back in. Naomi was in God's will, got out, but thank God, got back in the will of God. Then we have Boaz. He was in and never got out. I want to go sit down with Elimelech and say, I could imagine him going through all of the pros and cons and making this is a logical decision. This has, you know, we have to go. There's a famine in the land. And you know what I always say to that? Well, Boaz faced the same famine. He never left the land. If everybody had to leave the land or they were going to starve to death, then why did when we come back, do we find Boaz? And by the way, is Boaz penniless? No, he's prospering. And it's amazing how we can make up in our mind a reason that we have to leave God's will, but don't ever leave it. Here's Boaz. He ought to be an example to every young person. This ought to be the hero. This ought to be what you're looking towards. He was in and never got out. And then there's Orpah, who was out, and guess what? She chose to stay out. She was out. She chose to stay out. She never did get to the land of promise, you know. Married a Christian man who was out of the will of God, watched him die. And then when the mother-in-law goes back, you know what she does? She goes right back to her people, right back to her little G gods. And then you got the decision of Ruth. Now think about this. This is kind of glorious. Isn't it interesting all the ways that God works in people's life? Ruth wasn't born into this thing, so she was out by birth, by upbringing. But when she had a chance to get in, she got in. Amen? And she stayed in. And by the way, that's exciting. You know what? I'm all for the Boazes that were born into it and stay in it. But you know what, folks? A lot of people that we win to Christ, we won't win until later on in life. Thank God that God's merciful enough to take those that were not born into maybe a Christian life or a Christian home, save them and get them into it. And I hope you understand what I'm saying this. I'm not suggesting that any of us are born saved, okay? We all were out and had to get in. But as far as our Christian life and our Christian upbringing, for those of you that are blessed to be raised in a Christian home, it's a blessing. You know, so and what we're talking about? We're talking about decisions. Elimelech, you got to make a decision. Well, I was in God's will, but I got out. But I'm going to go back one day. Never made it back. Naomi, I've got to go with my husband. Got out, got back in. Boaz said, you know what? Yep, there's a famine, but there's also a God that's bigger than any famine. I'm staying put. I'm in the promised land. I'm not budging. Orpah had an opportunity to be introduced to Christianity through a husband, through a mother-in-law. But when that didn't work out, she just went right back over into the world. And then Ruth is who we're focused on tonight, the decision of Ruth. Here it is. I mean, you got to make a decision. Your sister-in-law made another decision. She went another way. Is Ruth going to be influenced by that decision? Okay, you don't think since Orpah made the decision first, don't you think Ruth had to pause there? Be careful, young people, that you're making decisions based on what somebody else is doing. Make sure you're making the right decision, despite what anybody else does. But this romance, God bringing these two people together, stop right here. If this decision isn't made, then this story does not happen. And I can't help but think, as I watch generations now of young people grow up, how many stories don't happen just because a young person says, you know what, Moab looks pretty good. I think I'll just head to Moab. And so we see that this romance happens because of a single decision. And I like the fact that when she decided, she decided. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And she was into it for the long haul. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more. Also, if aught but death part thee and me. And Naomi had been fussing with her and trying to talk her into going back. But verse number 18, I love it. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. And young people, just make up your mind. I'm going to go all the way for God. I'm going to stay in the will of God. No one's going to talk me out of it. And this romance happened because of a decision made by a young lady to leave Moab and to follow her mother-in-law and to make God her God. Let me give you a second reason this romance happened. This romance happened because not only did Ruth make a decision, but she had character, the character to follow through on her decision. The rest of the book, especially chapters 2 and chapters 3, is just a great study in the character of this young lady. You know what? She was raised in a heathen land, raised to worship little g gods, multiple gods. But I'm going to tell you this. You can look around in the world and find people that do not know God and would not open a Bible and don't know Jesus as their Savior, but they're still raised in a home where they're taught great character. Great character. By the way, I like winning those kind of people to the Lord. Okay, if you go to a lost person or win a lost person that has character and you win them to Christ, you know what? Then they become very much ready at a lot faster rate to be used of God than somebody that is one that doesn't have character. America needs to get back to instilling character values in our children. And you know what? Just because somebody gets saved doesn't mean they get zapped with automatic care. You know, if you were lazy and then you get saved, you don't all of a sudden become a hard worker. Okay? If you're a procrastinator before you got saved, you can get Jesus. Now you're probably just a saved procrastinator. All right? I'm just saying salvation doesn't produce character. And so parents, it's our job, right? To instill that in our children and to put a certain things inside of them. And Ruth, certainly, I don't know her family situation, but I know this. I'm looking at this young lady in chapters 2 and 3, and I'm pretty impressed. I mean, for somebody that was raised in a heathen land, but yet had great character, you know what? Once she latched on to God, that character came with it, and God was able to accelerate the use of her in his plan. And so she had the character to follow through, number one. There's all kinds of, let me just break down her character real quick. She had the character to follow through with the decision. You know what, folks? Chapter 1's pretty impressive. Man, treat me not to leave thee. Steadfastly minded. But I've watched people supposedly make those kind of decisions, and 6 months later, you can't find them. You know, it's one thing to have the character to choose to do right. It's another thing to have the character to follow through a whole lifetime of doing right. She says this, I wasn't born a Jew. I was not selected by God to be one of his chosen people. Yet, despite this, God chose me. How about that? And I'm going to trust him and serve him till the day I die, till the day I die. And you know what? Never went back on it. She just said, you know what? Not only am I going to make the right decision, I'm going to follow through with it. Number two, she had the character to care for her widowed mother-in-law. And to me, this means a lot. Amen. I mean it. One of the things that I just, you know, I think is important because I know the King James Holy Bible. I know what it says about this subject. And in a lifetime of preaching and ministering in nursing homes, and a lifetime of watching lonely people who are a lot of times placed there, and I understand sometimes people have to make that decision. But I'm talking about the ones that are making that decision, then walking away. Making that decision because, you know what, it's just easier on them. And you sit down, go to room and talk to them. And just say, do you have family in the area? Do they come by and see you from time to time? And listen to the stories. There's a sadness to it. Brother Roger knows about it. Yeah, amen. Him and his sweet wife know about it. They've seen these people. You know, sometimes they got three or four or five children in the area. They don't see them for months at a time. You know, the Bible says if you don't care for your own, you're worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says, okay? And it's talking about, it says that in the context of taking care of widows, okay? And so, you know what? Every one of us have a God-given responsibility. Watch this, young people. Your parents took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. One of these days, that thing could flip around. And the Bible's going to hold you accountable to make sure that you take care of your parents the same way that they took care of you. And so what I'm saying there is, I like this lady. You know, that wasn't even her real mom. It's a mother-in-law. But yet she said, you know what? I'm going to take care of them. And, you know, I told Cheryl, you know what? We made a commitment a long time ago, you know, that we're going to make sure that her parents are taken care of. We're going to make sure my parents are taken care of, amen? And that's just the right thing to do. That shows character. Number three, the character to work with her own hands. If you look in chapter number 2, Naomi has a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And she said, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set before the reapers, whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. She took a little break, but for the most part, you know what? She's been out in the field working. And you know what, young man? You know what drew Boaz's attention to this young lady? It was her character. It was her work ethic. It's her willingness to get out there and do it. Verses 15, we read more about it. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And you know what? He noticed her work ethic. And he noticed she was willing to work hard. And he watched that for a few days. And finally he said to the reapers, hey, I know she comes over. You know, you don't understand what we're doing here. She's going through and getting what is left over. She's going after and picking up the things that the harvesters have missed. And me and my wife's done that from time to time. We were raising cows, and especially we lived over in Clay City area. There's a man that farmed the property around us, and I used to go and talk to him and say, hey, after the combine goes through, do you mind if I go out and take a couple 5-gallon buckets or a couple gunny sacks and look for corn? You want to go to the corners, amen, brother Jeff, you know, where they're trying to make the corner, and they may miss a little bit there. And man alive, I mean, I've went out and come back with 8 or 10 gunny sacks worth of ear corn, you know, was able to feed to the livestock. And no matter what we use to harvest, let me tell you, nothing has been invented that gets 100% of everything. And back then, they did the best they could. But thank God, you know what? They were allowed. Old Testament law made the provision that they ought to allow the poor to come in afterwards and to be helped with that. And so that's what she did. And then you know what? Once she proved, there's a great lesson I'm about to give you. Get it, okay? Here's a young lady. She's got a work ethic. She's working hard. She's doing the best she can to provide for her and her mother-in-law. She goes out there. Boaz sees it. And so he says, you know what? If she's willing to pay that kind of price and come in day after day and focus in and work hard, then let's leave her a little bit of what the Bible calls handfuls on purpose. Handfuls on purpose, all right? I like that. And say, oh, you know what, God? Well, I'll tell you, so-and-so sure is lucky. No, they just work hard. And as they work hard and prove that they're willing to work hard, then God's willing to leave a little handfuls on purpose, amen. I'm telling you, God still blesses hard work. God blesses the work ethic. It was God that commanded us to work hard. And when you're willing to work hard, go the extra mile, do whatever you have to do to make it happen and make it work, God will drop off those little handfuls on purpose here and there and bless your life. And so we see that here's a woman of character. What's attracted Boaz's attention? Does he meet her down at the nightclub? Does he meet her down at the movie theater? All right, where did he meet her down here at the dance, on the dance floor somewhere? You know what he's doing? This is a smart guy. Boaz is a smart guy. You know what? He's looking for the right things, and he sees her character. And so here she is. She works with her own hands. The character to express thankfulness. Look at verses 8 through 10. And then Boaz said to Ruth, "Hearest thou, thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men? They shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Spirit of thankfulness. Probably need a revival of this. Spirit of thankfulness. And again, there's certain things that Boaz notices. There's certain things that God in heaven sees, and he rewards. And you know what? She didn't have an entitlement mentality. She was willing to do whatever she had to do. And because of that, he was allowing her some grace in her life. And you know what her response was? That was, "Well, it's about time. Matter of fact, I'm telling you what, this is ridiculous that I even have to come out here. I mean, the government ought to just bring a check to my mailbox. Once a month, I can get off the couch and wander out there and get it. And are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" And because of this, I'm talking about character, the character to express thankfulness. Young people, when's the last time you said thank you to your mom? When's the last time you said thank you to your dad? All right, has your character deteriorated to the point where the only time you communicate is to gripe or complain? Talk about what you do have and don't have instead of being thankful for what you do have. And there's something about that, just thankfulness, thankfulness, thankfulness. Young people, by the way, you ought to say thank you to your Sunday school teacher. They study hard. They work hard around here. I'm sure every one of you did. But you know what, Brother Gordon and the other chaperones that took off out of their life and take you on this trip, well, I hope you said thank you to them. Because, you know, don't just take things for granted or get this mentality that everybody owes me something. Let me give you a wake-up call, okay? The world don't owe you anything. They don't owe you a thing. It's your responsibility to get out there and work hard and provide for you and provide for your family. And if somebody does show a little extra grace in your life, you ought to be thankful for it, not just expect it or feel like you're entitled to it. So how did this romance happen? We're talking about character. Character. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And as she began to work and do what she could do, God began to open the doors and do what she couldn't do and direct her path and make things happen. What a blessing this is. Chapter 3, the first 9 verses, we see that she has the character to follow her mother-in-law's advice. And Naomi's doing a little coaching. That's what these old ladies do, I'm telling you. They will help coach you when it comes to trying to hook you a husband, amen. They will teach you the ropes and tell you a few things. And Naomi, I like Naomi. She's kind of like, now listen, we're going to let God take care of this. But while God's taking care of it, I'm going to give you a little advice on how you can kind of get his attention a little bit here. And that's exactly what he did. Young ladies, I don't think you ought to be a flirt. But I think when you get to the age where you should be thinking about these things, which wouldn't be now, all right, let me tell you something about guys. For the most part, guys, you know what? They got egos, and they're a little bit, they don't like rejection, and they'd be afraid to show some interest if they weren't pretty sure that you might be a little interested back. And you don't have to, you don't have to be overt in that, but you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about." I don't know if I do either, but you talk to any of the women in this room, and they'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about, okay? But she had a godly mother-in-law that says, "I'm going to kind of guide you. I'm going to tell you some things you need to do." And she kind of coached her through this thing, and I just think that's, and by the way, She took the coaching. Okay, let me tell you, and I don't know who's who, and I don't know what's in your heart, you know. Most of you are really good girls, and I mean this, super good girls. And you are, because when you're around me, you're around the preacher, and you're always super good. So I think you're all good, okay? So I don't know what's really going on, but I will tell you this. If every time mom and dad says, take a step that way, you're just determined to turn around and take a step this way, you're in trouble. I'm just telling you, you're in trouble. It's almost like I can't come to some of you with any advice, because if I did, it would just make you do the opposite. See, maybe I ought to use reverse psychology a little bit. You know, if you get to be that point in your life where, you know what, you know it all, nobody else knows, nobody's going to tell you, you are never going to end up in a Ruth Boaz, sweet, God-blessed situation. Be willing to listen to the authorities that God's placed in your life. All right, so that's what she was willing to do. And then, I like verse number 10 in chapter 3. She comes to Boaz. We had the conversation, verse 8 and 9. And Boaz says, who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said this, notice this. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou hast required for all the city of my people to know that thou art a virtuous woman. Don't ever take chapter 3 and try to let anybody turn this into anything bad or immoral or wrong. Okay, she went to Boaz that night under the direction of her mother-in-law. And by the way, her virtue was maintained. But one of the things that caught Boaz's eye here, talking about her character, is in verse number 10. Did you hear what he said, young lady? I hope you did. Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And could I say this? She had the character to wait instead of date. She had the character to wait instead of date. I've said this recently. I'll say it again. You know what? Any of these young ladies on this first two rows, if they wanted to, could go out and, you know what, buy them some britches, chase some boys, and you know what? In 2 weeks, they could walk in here with some guy on their arm. Any of them could. Any of, like that's some big accomplishment. Okay, anybody could do that. But you know what? The young ladies have said, yeah, I could do that. I absolutely could do that. I know I could do that. But you know what? God has somebody for me. I'm willing to wait. I'm going to stay in God's will. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to stay separated. I'm going to listen to my parents. I'm going to listen to my preacher. You know what? I'm just telling you, just hang in there. You watch what happens. Watch where these that are doing right turn out. Watch where the other ones. Been doing this a long time, 30 years. It's not going to change. And so this romance happened because here's a young lady of stellar character. She made a hard decision, but a right decision. And then she said, I'm going to live by character. And you know what? The right kind of young man's still looking for a young lady that has Christian character. And, you know, that's the thing that's going to make a great wife. And then, let me say last of all, this romance happened because it was the will of God. It was just the will of God. You want to read something else that's just kind of funny that Naomi said? Remember we got the mother-in-law coach? Okay, so she comes back and she's like, by the way, Boaz, before she left, said, take off your veil, and he filled it with a bunch of, was it barley, I think, or something like that? 6 measures of barley. Go not empty into thy mother-in-law. Look at verse number 18. I think it's hilarious. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day. He said, you set the hook, girl. It's just a matter. Now you just got to wait and reel it in. That dude he's gone. He's Twitter paid. You got him. Just sit still now and let it. And act like from now on it's his idea. You know, the old saying about he chased her until she caught him. Amen. I think we have a little bit of that going on here. And God brought these two young people together. Well, what a blessing this is. Ruth is a great example, and I mean this, a great example for our Christian young ladies. Young people, spend your time developing your character. You can spend your teenage years pursuing, or you can spend your teenage years preparing. And my suggestion for all these years have been spend your teenage years preparing. Don't worry about pursuing. God's got the right one, and God will put them together in His time, in His will. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us and Your grace. And I ask, Lord, that You would, Lord, bless us, dear God. It's a blessing this morning to hear the good testimony of the youth trip, watch our young people get up and sing. That blessed the preacher's heart. And Lord, I'd love to do this. Lord, I know it's asking a lot. I understand all that we fight against. I understand it plainly. But every single young person, Lord, that was on the stage this morning, I'd love to claim them, dear God, and ask that You'd not let a one of them slip away. Keep them within Your will, God. Protect them and watch over them, Lord. I'd ask, Lord, that You would lead them, dear God, in the paths of righteousness. Keep them pure and clean. Keep them, Lord, planted right where You have them in Your will. And Lord, what a wonderful thing. Lord, here we've got teenagers on this trip. And then we have three young couples, Lord, that went with them that were once teenagers, the young men. And Lord, every single one of them, Lord, took their time and were patient and tried to do things right. And the young ladies, patient, dear God, to watch You put these Ruth and Boaz combinations together. And then, Lord, bless them with children and grow their family. And yet, Lord, also give them a heart for teenagers to work with them and take them. And, Lord, this is what we do generation after generation, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would continue to help our young people in this. Lord, don't let the devil trick them. Don't let the devil discourage them. And, Lord, I pray that they would exercise great patience, Lord, in Your as Your will works out in their life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Lord, bless and watch over them.